samstapako lokanam hitakarino shri bhuvane manyotsaran yakaro radha krishna padaravinda bhajana nande nama tariko vande rupa sanatana raghu jago shri jiva gopalako Gauranga Gunanavarda Navito Shraddha Samrityanvito Papatapani Kuntano Tanupritam Govinda Ganam Rita Kaivalyanishtarako Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghujako Shri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatano Shamanda Lapati Shrinim Sadha Tuchava Bhutvadina Ganeshako Karunaya Kopina Kantashito Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Abdi Lahari Kalolam Magno Muhu Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghujago Shri Jiva Gopalako Jato kila hansa sara sagana kirne mayo rakule the Vrindavane. Radha Krishnam Ahornisham Prabhujito Vijayato Yomudha. Evande Rupasana Tanora Kuchuko Shijiva Gopalako. Puravaka namaganati bhi kalavanish takrito enidra hara vihara kadi vijito chatyanta dino shayo Radha Krishna guna smrite madurima nandena sa mohito vande rupa sanatana ragujugo shi jiva go palako Kalinda Tanaya Tire Chavam Shivate Preman Madhava Shadashisha Dashaya Grasto Pramato Sada Goyato Chakada Hare Gunavaram Bhava Vida Tomudha Vande Rupa Sanatana Ragujago Shri Jiva Gopalako Jugo Shri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Ragujugo Shri Jiva Gopalako He Radhe Braja Kedike Chalalite Inanda Suno Kuta Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vanye Kuta Goshidhava Itashavato Rajapure ke dharma vivulo vande rupa sanatana rakujuko shri jiva gopalako
for prayers to the six Goswamis who were always engaged in worshiping Sri Radha and Krishna in the land of Vrindavan, which is full of so many swans, cuckoos, parrots, peacocks, and other birds who are always calling out their sweet songs. The very splendid trees are full of fruits and flowers and have all valuable jewels under their roots. Day and night, the Goswamis were doing their bhajan in that Vrindavan and bestowing upon all jivas the highest benediction of life in the form of bhakti.
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujuga Shri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyako Shri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyako Palako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghujugo Shri Jiva Gopalako. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Concentration on the chanting. Let's please ask Bhakti Tirtha Swami to come and be with us out here, and he'll remain with us forever in this mood of chanting together. Especially if we're focusing on the chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Krishna Hare Hare Hari Ram Hari Ram 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 Hare Hare Oh Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Ram Hari Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare, Krishna, Hare, Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Radhe, 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 Shira. Radhe. Bolo Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Oh Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Bolo Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Bolo Radhe 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 Shri Radhe. Vrishabhanu Dulade Shri Radhe. Parshan Bali ki jay jay jay. Bolo Parshan Bali ki jay jay jay. Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Jayo Shri Radhe. Radha Rani ki jai, Maha Rani ki jai. Radha Rani ki jai, Maha Rani ki jai. Oh Radha Rani ki jai, Maha Rani ki jai. Oh Radha Rani ki jai, Maha Rani ki jai. Bolo Parshan Bali ki jai jai jai. Bolo Parshan Bali ki jai jai jai. Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Jayo Radhe, Jayo Shri Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai 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 Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Shyam, Jai Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham. Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Nitai go, Haribo, 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 Haribo. Hey, Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur. Jai Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Vaishnav Thakur, Jai Vaishnav Thakur. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev.
Kunja Bihari. Ye Radha Madhava. Kunja Bihari. Gopi Dana Ballabha Girivare Hari.
Gopi Dana Ballabha Girivare Hari.
Gopi Dana Ballabha Girivare Hari.
Gopi Dana Ballabha.
Yasoda Nanda Nan, Vajjana Raja Nan. Yasoda Nanda Nan, Vajjana Raja
Nan.
Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jirada Madhava. Kunja Bihari.
Jai Radha Madhava. Kunja
Gopijana Balaba, Girivarid Hari.
Gopijana Balaba, Girivarid
Hari. Yasoda Nanda Nanda Vajjana Rajana. Yasoda Nanda Nanda Vajjana Rajana.
Yasoda Nanda Nanda
Jamuna Tira Panachari
Jamuna Tira Panachari
Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Jaya Radhe
Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe
Jaya Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Jaya Radhe Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Vrindavan Chandra Jaya Radhe
Jaya Radha
Kala Chandra Radha Kala Chandra Jaya Radhe
Jaya Jagannath
Jaya Jagannath Jai Baladeva, Jai Subhadra.
Jai
Prabhupada, 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 Srila
Prabhupada.
Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada.
Jaya
Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada,
Prem Sikoho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Hara Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Vita Nagari Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Sri Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Damodara Ki Jai
Gauranandi
Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki All glories to the assembled world. All glories to the assembled world. All glories to the assembled world. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
So these are tears of happiness and joy. And tremendous satisfaction. And maybe I should be leaving the body every day, get such wonderful association. The devotees here in Giranagari, they have an awesome experience of every few days a leader coming down or flying in, giving classes, and allowing us to somehow be able to, they want you to turn it up, allowing us to somehow
to be able to receive their blessings. I don't think I have to introduce anyone, but I will anyway. Our darling, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. Radha Swami Maharaj ki. At the far end, His Holiness Chandrasekhar Swami Maharaj. And next to him, Chandramuli Swami Maharaj. And we hear that we're blessed to have a few more devotees coming from New Vrindavan. And I see a few of my God brothers, God sisters, and I feel.
Amoga,
where's Amoga? Oh my God, Amoga. So wonderful to see you. Huh? This is like Mooney. I've already left the body. I am meeting up with Mooney. Maybe not Narada, but with Mooney.
Narada Mooney is there.
Narada Mooney, uh-oh. I am already gone. So we are in some very unusual spiritual assembly here that looks like it might be Pennsylvania, but we know that it's beyond that. So I want to thank them and thank all of you. And I just sent out today my last letter to the Vaishnava community. So when you have chance, you will see it, I guess, in a day or two on some of the websites. I don't personally expect to be here more than another week or so. But sometimes even the religionists say, if you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans. But I did pray about 2 days ago to Srila Prabhupada that I thought it was a nice time now to leave. And so I've started making those prayers now. And so we will see. I still have two more beggars. I read one now. I don't expect to read any more. By my meager perception that I may not be here to read the next one. So I had to choose which of the two to read. And I thought I would read a very brief one on the attitude is gratitude. The title of this beggar is Having Gratitude for the Present by Having More Appreciation for the Past. Having gratitude for the present by having more appreciation for the past. Let me first maybe ask you a question. When we think of Kala of time, what does that mean to us? You help me out with a few answers. As Vaishnavas, when we think of time, what how does that impact upon us? What does that mean to us? Don't everybody shout out at the same time. Yes. He says temporariness. All devouring. Where you read that? Huh? In one of the classic books? One of the Greek classics? You read that in what? Where you read that? Yes. Krishna says it's time. What are some one or two other things come to us when we think of time? Takes away everything. Anybody else think of time?
It's always passing.
It is always passing. There's so many ways we can look at it. We know how everything materially in time is deteriorating. Something is born. Something remains for a while, and then there is deterioration. And we know it shows us something is born simultaneously, almost concomitantly we can say somebody is dying and somebody will die. So it's just as categorical as there's birth, there's also death. The question is, what is the quality of life that we have and share? And how much do we live by touching someone else's life with quality? Our own life has as much value as we're able to give quality to others. Raghunath Maharaj, almost every lecture, emphasizes being the servant of the servant of the servant. And so we understand that where materially speaking, everybody's trying to be the controller of the controller of the controlled. And as devotees, we're trying to see how to get rid of so much acculturation, so many things that have kept us in so many material bodies for so many lifetimes. And therefore, when we have chance to leave the material body, we have chance for greatest victory, for greatest achievement, for perfecting and ending kala. Because we know that kala really has more to do with the material world, because it's a measurement of how things are changing. It's a measurement of how things are deteriorating. We say we're so many years old, or a building or a construction is so old, a tree, based on how long it's been in existence and how it's coming to deterioration. So we're all very old, because we're all right around the corner from meeting death. And in some cases, we're extremely old, because we've been going through this process of samsara for just so many lifetimes. Now, we all have particular commission to end the samsara within ourselves and to end it with as many people as we can. We are trying to engage in the perfect escape, but we're doing it in the most ridiculous way, because we're trying to announce to everybody, hey, Jiva Jago, everyone come, and as many of us as possible, let's escape out of this Samarcha Loka. Let us escape out of this Maitunya Gara. Let us escape out of the illusion that brings such massive confusion, where we are honoring these bodies as the all in all. And so when we are in sometimes a debilitated state, it helps to remind us, hey, this body, it ain't so wonderful after all. Or it's as wonderful to the degree that we use it to engage in the perfect escape. The senses are so overwhelming, but these same senses are so uplifting and liberating if we use them in the right way. Time, we see, is one of the major aspects of bhav, avyata kalatvam. A symptom is how he or she uses their time. You'll never come in contact with a high-level devotee who uses his or her time frivolously, whimsically. Why? Because one of the things that nobody mentioned is we see that time belongs to Krishna. And so the more that we are seeing Krishna in everything and everywhere, the more that we are trying to honor Krishna, and the more we're trying to glorify Him as He would be pleased to be served. And therefore, knowing that it is His time, we want to glorify Him, we want to offer Him what is His, in the best way we can, in the way that he would be most excited and appreciative. And we know that he's even more appreciative based on how we serve his devotees. So whether I stay a week or somehow I stay a little longer, that I am extremely appreciative and excited that I can use these last days and hours, and that I've tried as best as I could in my little capacity to try to be the servant of the servant. I still got long ways to be the servant of the servant of the servant, but that we have tried to focus our life in such a way that we could try to offer some way to enthuse devotees a little with having more faith and feeling more dedicated. I don't mind styling. But All right. Now, you know, I was getting ready to say, you know, this Hugh, I don't have to worry about the sun. But the cancer I get is melanoma. And it mainly comes, for most people, from the sun. So, Sura, you'll be kind to me for a little bit for a while. So, I want to ask you one other question, then I want to read this short prayer. I think this is going to blow off anyway. You reflect on this for a minute. Just see. I should be speaking and getting out of here, and I'm still trying to be a teacher. What is it Bhaktisiddhanta says? One who has life can preach. I don't have life. Let it go. Some days when I'm not able to sleep and do things, I just think, how nice it'd be if my soul would blow away like that also. Anyway, I can style like in Hollywood. Put my makeup on, try different stuff. You should know we're all on TV, so this is being filmed. So, no, I'm okay. What about them? Don't bother. You bother synchronicity. You bring one umbrella, you got to bring four or five. Don't go there. If you do that, then you got to bring 200. You got to treat all Vaishnavas proper. Isn't that right? So, let me ask you one other question. I'll stop trying to act like I got life. But what is that quote from Bhaktisiddhanta? According to General Palena Parachiyate, judged by the example, one who has... Who's a scholar of Bhaktisiddhanta? What's the verse? One who has knowledge can preach? One who has life can preach? Yeah, Palena Parachiyate, judged by his proof. But what is the quote, one who has life can preach? Same one? All right. That's a show that we most of us don't have much life. We don't remember that one. And the fact that I don't, it means I have less life. But let me ask you this question. What are some of the dangers of thinking and living in the past? Let me let you think about it. And what are some of the benefits of thinking and living in the past? Basically, what I'm going to share with you very briefly is the power of living in the past, of being appreciative for many wonderful things from the past to allow us to be excited and energized in the present. That helps us to be fully in the most wonderful, vibrant anticipation for the future. But what are some of the dangers in living in the past? Well, maybe I share two or three so we move quicker. Just like sometimes the devotees, we live in the past as if it's still the 60s or the 70s. Or we live in the past as if the quality of our devotion 5 years ago, and I didn't say 10 or 15 or 20, if the quality of our devotion 5 years ago is sufficient for us to sufficiently survive with high-level bhakti now. Hey, it ain't happening like that. The nature of the mature energy has intensified. The Maya's attacks, that is, have intensified. The chance to grow and to get empowered has intensified. And therefore, the opportunities have intensified and the obstacles also. So by living in the past, sometimes we will interfere with our growth and acceleration because we won't do what's necessary for the present. That'll bring about greater success for the future. Also, sometimes by living in the past, we forget or we minimize that spiritual life is ever fresh. And it's not about what we used to do or how we used to do it, or how Madhavendra Puri or Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, yes, it's how they did it, but it's how they lived for us to do what is necessary and to become like them. So sometimes we live too much in the past. We hide behind the great acharyas. We hide behind institutions. We hide behind even our own past successes. And sometimes we hide behind our own past failures. We have a pity party that goes on and on and doesn't allow us to accept the present. Doesn't allow us to forgive ourselves for what we may have done wrong or definitely did wrong, or what others may have done wrong to us. So we live in the past. But at the same time, for us, we can never just live in the present or in the future, because we have a legacy. So the good part of living in the past is accepting that whatever's happened now has happened in the past in history, and whatever Maya has come about, it's been defeated in the past. Whatever great help that is needed has already been given. Whatever each of us need to advance tomorrow and to go back home next year, next decade, has already been arranged, because it's already been established by our most beloved Acharyas. And it's been established by those who specifically want to see that as many of us go back as expediently as possible. So, in this particular offering, I look at time, gratefulness, and harnessing the past so that whatever is going on in the present, how debilitating, devastating, how confusing, that it becomes exciting because of what so much we have to be grateful for. I was just thinking as I was coming down of just some of the classical examples of gratefulness in the scriptures, in spite of reasons not to be grateful. So I was thinking of the Brahmin who would only drink milk and was undergoing so many austerities, and he was invited to join the kirtan, the wonderful nocturnal kirtans of the great associates of the Lord and the Lord. And who was he invited by? Srivas. This is something to remind ourselves. We cannot enter in higher circles unless we're invited by such higher resonance. Nobody goes back to the spiritual world who is not invited by a resonant of Vrindavan. Nobody. We are getting a chance to go back because we're in touch with confidential beings who reside in Vrindavan. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. Just like sometimes there are secret societies, political and economic especially. You can't enlist, you can't join. You have to be observed and called out and invited, because they feel that whatever you do or whatever you're about, it adds to what they're about and it will enhance the group or the environment. And so this is how personal Krishna consciousness is. And those devotees who have already gone and have gone back, have descended and gone back, they have accepted the invitation, and in their last moments they are personally escorted. As I said the other day, my escorts have come a few weeks ago, and they must think I'm damn stubborn. That why I'm somehow I'm holding on. And I think I'm damn stubborn. And I'm wondering, hey, you Bhakti Tirtha, why are you holding on? Don't you know it's over for you? Death to the soul, death to the body, brings the greatest birth in life to the soul. Because then this most significant aspect of this past existence integrates into, moves away from, eradicates from interfering with the soul. And now it becomes its original sarup in its service. So I'm trying to go ahead, if I'm allowed, so I can be inviting a whole lot of people. I have always liked fame. I've always liked popularity. I've always liked to be pampered. I've always liked everybody to know what I'm doing. And I want everybody to help do what I do. And so, even to the point that I'm dying, and I can't keep my mouth shut from sending out different things. Some of the devotees must be thinking, hey Maharaj, go ahead and die peacefully. It's all right. I accept their submission now, and I'll do that soon. So this Brahman, even though he was chastised, Lord Chaitanya wasn't feeling the normal ecstasy. It shows the potency of the pure devotees. What happens when they come together? It's like now I have no energy to be out here, and I'm just energized by all of you and these great, great devotees. And in a short while, I'll collapse. But an amazing thing is he was chastised. Lord Chaitanya explained, it ain't easy. Not all kinds of austerities, all kinds of tapasya and yajnas, all kinds of study of shastra, and so many other things is not sufficient. You have to be invited. And it has to be an acceptance in a teamship. So he was invited by Srivas. And therefore, two things was happening. Is that he was accepted because he really was invited. But just under unusual circumstances. And so therefore, he seemed to not be accepted. But he was honored by being invited. And therefore, we see that he was chased away. But he was so happy that he had moments of association. And because of that, what happened? Huh? He was invited back. He was invited to associate eternally. So here's an example of chastisement, or where there could be considered confusion and bewilderment. He could have said, hey, everybody, these are leaders. Everybody, they talk about Paro Dukha Dukha Kripam Bodhi. They talk about caring for everyone. They talk about distributing to everybody, every town, every village. They talk about treating everyone with the same care and affection. But you try also, they won't let you in. But we see his quality of appreciation. We see the example of Mukunda Datta, how he heard on the porch during the Mahaprakash, but because previously, and I abbreviate real quick so I can read, how he was preaching Mayavadi philosophy. And so the devotees were trying to invite him to be there and to get the full blessings. And Lord Chaitanya told him, no way. Not what for, but millions of births would he get the chance for the association. And did he look at this and think, how is God fair? Where's the samohamsa of a bhuteshu? Where's the kindness and fairness to all? Where's that Muda Goswami, Lokanam, Itakarana, Jabhuvane? Where is this? What, Hittai Bhutai, being merciful to all. Where? But he rejoiced, thinking, at least after some time, I will be able to have the association. And then last, in the case of Nityananda, when he was kicked by Shivananda Sena, and in the case of Advaita Acharya, who was speaking that jnana is higher than bhakti. And we see that he was chastised, but he wanted it because he was so much accepting the power of serving on the servant that he didn't want to be treated equal or superior. So let me wrap this up by just reminding us. We're talking about color, time, on time. Everything changes and everything becomes revealed. The best and the worst comes out in time. And as we honor our time properly as belonging to Krishna, then every moment becomes the greater chance to serve. And every moment becomes a greater chance to have more gratitude as the dominant attitude. So I'm looking, and I wrote all of these, you know, while I'm dealing with terminal illness. And so now I'm writing this beggar in the spirit of cancer, giving me tough love, helping to me to understand and unfold and connect and others to connect. And others to understand so much of, me to understand so much of what others do that I can take for granted so easily. And for so many others, look a little closer at what I have tried to do and take for granted less. We too much, as Vaishnavas who would be servants of the servants, we take practically every Vaishnava too much for granted. And it has its way of slowing down our devotional creepers to the degree that we can honor every Vaishnava with genuine affection. We have etiquette and there's that is to be honored because that's culture. But as we have this great this equilibrium of love, then what? Then that's the spiritual world where everyone is experiencing Krishna and feeling Krishna in everything, because everybody is manifesting the qualities of Krishna. So as we are able to relate to everyone now with more and more appreciation, then gradually there's no material world for us. So I'm trying, with this debilitating situation and happiness that my prayers have been accepted, of trying to go deeper with gratitude and trying to offer this perhaps less beggar with gratitude as I enter into the last breakdown. Having gratitude for the present by having more appreciation of the past. It is easy to take so much for granted, even life itself. Okay, if we can pause now with this, okay? Normally when we have opportunities, facilities or experiences, we so easily take them for granted. Think about that in all of our lives, how much we've taken so many people, especially those who are closest to us, for granted. However, when we no longer have time, we're often forced to reflect more on what and how we benefited from what we had in the past. Sometimes it's sad that we don't appreciate something until we don't have it, or someone until we lose them. Why sometimes people did the same thing and then we have so many things to glorify them about? It's the same person, same thing that was said, same thing that was written, same thing that was expressed. Why? There's something unhealthy about our culture, our relative culture, that happens too often. It's sad that we can't be able to recognize so much qualities in so many devotees. And what to say, those who may make a little extra sacrifice. It's sad that we allow ourselves to lack such in-depth Vaishnava qualities due basically to aspects of ego. That what is always around us, we sometimes, pashanapi na pashati, we see but we do not see. But as far as the high-level devotees, they expect this because they come in the world under unusual circumstances. They're on a mission under unusual circumstances. And in some cases, they even leave under unusual circumstances. And they are really not here to be glorified or to win a popularity contest anyway. But they do have some concern about trying to live in such a way to minimize offenses from others. And so I've been sharing with one or two of my senior God brothers that they should change some things in their life, and I speak from my own bad habits, so that they will minimize others making offenses toward them, and that they will be a better servant by being able to do the right thing, but in communicating in the right way. One of my big problems is the way that I communicated some things that really was due to my faith and conviction. But for some people, they just couldn't handle it and didn't even try in many cases. We have to be the ones who can get gold even from a filthy place. What to say from each other. So I'm hoping that one of the things that happens as part of the way I'm leaving is that it also helps each devotee to look out a little more at who he or she is associating with, and help each devotee look a little closer at how much they are consciously making sacrifices on behalf of trying to help others, and how much are they joyful when they can be inconvenienced and make such sacrifice. I may presently find myself in a situation of loss, or I do. When I was writing this, it wasn't so clear if I was going to live or die. In this situation, I can become very angry. If somebody's dying, can become very sad and depressed. Or I can become more attentive and appreciative and full of gratitude. When people reflect on past commodities, experiences, facilities, opportunities, and associations, they can relive and recapture the beauty of the past and involvements, feelings, gratefulness, and be grateful for what was available in the past. Presently, I have come down with this horrible, demonic, wonderful, joyful, educating melanoma, which is obviously very devastating. However, the extreme inconvenience and pain created by the present situation can spark that much more of an appreciation for the many, many years I had in the past without any of these problems, without the diabetes and the arthritis and the broken all stuff and the tumors, and we won't even go there. How happy, appreciative, and full of gratitude I feel as I recapture and relive the beauty of the past. And as I look around, I see certain older God brothers and God sisters, and I just jump out so many experiences. I'm not going to go there now. So much wonderful associations. So many ways how they struggled. So many ways how they served. And that jumps out. And even stops me from crying. It gives me strength to go on. It jumps out and makes me grateful. I can't share the last part of my gratitude if I'm going to be boo-hooing all over the place. I got all the time to do that. That's all I can do inside. I just boo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Boo-boo-boo-boo. Oh, ho. How much more, you guys? It's in the time now. So we might have difficulty eating or sleeping, but we can reflect on how fortunate and wonderful the experiences were when we were able to eat sumptuous foodstuff of different varieties. Most of you now, you can still eat anything you want. And don't worry, old age and just a few other things is going to change that real soon. For some just overweight. But the wonderful experiences the sumptuous food stuff, different varieties, how pleasant it was to have deep, restful nights and peaceful sleep. It's like now for months I haven't been able to sleep. So I lay down an hour and a half. So all during the night it's a ritual of waiting for the day. And all during the day it's a ritual waiting for the night. And then it's a wonderful, a greater ritual of realizing, hey, that's what it is. No ultimate convenience in the material world. But by such reflections of gratitude, we can bring forth those wonderful things from the past into the present. I was laughing how, for most of my Krishna consciousness, I avoided sleeping 5 or 6 hours. And now if I could sleep 5 hours or 4 hours straight, I would consider it to be, oh, such an achievement. I avoided eating much. If I could eat a full plate of prasadam now, oh, I would stuff myself and I would die overeating. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to die? Devotees come in. I would die with food all on me. I enjoyed myself to death. By such reflections of gratitude, we can bring forth those past experiences into the present. We can be grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. Presently, we may not be involved in or able to participate in mating and defending. Some of us by choice and some by force and some because we just haven't been able to find a licit sex partner. But that's a blessing if you're a devotee. Presently, we may not be involved or able to participate in mating or defending. However, if we find ourselves, when we find ourselves in such a situation, we can be grateful to not be encumbered in this way. We can appreciate our present simplified situations as well as bring forth past happiness, success, and achievements with full gratitude as a way to recapture and relive the healthy experiences in our present moments. In this way, we can be grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. Like I'm saying, I mean, I'd like to leave in a week or so, but in one sense, the present is already gone, and the present is future is already coming upon us. And that's why in the spiritual world, there's really no past, because the present is ever unfolding and becoming more and more static. And therefore, there is always the experience and the greater experience and the greater experience and the anticipation of that experience amplifying in the present. Presently, I may have difficulty talking and walking. I haven't been able to walk in almost a year now, 11 months. One can become very angry, sad or depressed, or one can experience great appreciation and gratitude for the past achievements, accomplishments, bringing them fully into the present. We can go into a deeper reflection on the pleasant accomplishments of the past, reliving and recapturing these experiences with full gratitude and appreciation. By such reflections of gratitude, we can bring forth these past experiences into the present, feeling grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. I think I have 1 or 2last paragraphs here. Perhaps presently, I am having difficulty, and I am, seeing, hearing, tasting, and feeling. These differences can make one very angry, sad, and depressed, or one can experience great appreciation and gratitude for past reflections, which involve seeing wonderful things, hearing beautiful sounds, tasting wonderful things, goodies, feeling delightful sensations. Mamuni, is that all right? You know how we used to really relish a lot of prasadam? Glubjan, I used to be most austere, huh? I would eat only some carrots and a few fruits a day. And once we had this test in St. Louis, And I was there to still show my ego. I can eat the less and I can eat the most. Ego can kick you in so many ways. And in that glove jumping contest, you remember what the top score was? It was top score, and I was second. But I came out first because the first one, he vomits. And I showed him. I have won. I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to end with this and then end this last paragraph. I talk about community building. It's maybe my last time to talk about healthy community. Once a year, we say once, but we sneak in maybe 2-3 times. Here in Gitanagari, we just drop everything, and I mean everything. And we just go all day to the park. We keep the pujaris, and we send them back and forth. But we have all these sports. And my idea is to be there with everybody, especially the children, and to get all the adults to be with the children, and to have inner competition and inter-competition. And we compete with the kids, and we compete against them. And I had these funny tricks that some of you know. Almost every year, the greatest event was how Maharaj is going to cheat this year. So I'm going to reveal my last secrets and wisdoms. Because I'm not writing anymore. I'm not sending any more messages out. And the only other communication you're going to have is when I pop in on you in a dream. You better be careful. You better be careful. So, for instance, I'll share one or two, maybe three, real quick. So I had a wonderful way how to win every race. Yeah, it's a secret. I get everybody running, matching off height, size, age group. It didn't matter. We come down to the last best three. And then I tell them, now I'm going to win. Give me the best of what we have here. Leader should be the best. Now by the time I'm ready to race, these three are just damn exhausted. I don't give them a chance to get a breath. I tell them, come on. And when I get over the finish line, I say, once again, I have won. Then we play volleyball. This one some of the devotees probably don't even know today, my trick. We team up fair. I try to cheat, but I'm not allowed on that one. But before the game is over, I find a way to cheat. I'll bring somebody in that creates an imbalance. But my biggest cheating is that, you know, it's dangerous being around your guru. You attach to his words and his sound vibration and his orders. So sometimes somebody's on the other side and the ball is way over here. And I shout, hey, Ekavir, hit the ball! And he runs. And he knocks the other person over and they both blow it. And I don't reveal it, but in my mind I say, I have won. So, my last words is, after all of this, I'm a cheating guru. All of my talks about principles of leadership, about community, and being bonding with community, and I bring community together just to see how to cleverly to cheat them. So I end here. I don't know why I'm telling that. I shouldn't even be laughing. I may leave the body right here because everything's broken and fractured, and if it breaks, it would be nice to leave here. Maybe I tell something else so I can leave here. No, I better be more serious. Wouldn't be nice to leave in this way. Perhaps presently, I have many difficulties eating, and I've done that. So let me end this. Perhaps now, I may not be able to travel, and of course, then it was a question, now it's definite. As I used to, one can become very angry, sad, and depressed. And you can be depressed, I didn't tell you the rest of my secrets. But maybe in the transcendental realm, we will reveal the others. They're actually worse. Or one can experience great appreciation for opportunities in the past, which involve visiting so many countries and associations. And so as devotees come down, I think about how much we've associated in, as warriors in Prabhupada's mission. How much happiness, appreciation, and gratitude I can constantly have by bringing from the past into the present and into the future so many wonderful, dynamic, and exciting experiences with so many wonderful personalities. In this way, we can be grateful for the past and most grateful for the present. It is surely very easy to take so many things that are natural and wonderful situations, experiences, and accomplishments and people and facilities for granted when the present is especially problematic, when we're too distracted by what is happening and what isn't happening in our lives. And so it's hard to really do glorify or be ingratiating in a healthy way when somehow we don't sufficiently appreciate or we have too much stuff with that person and we allow that to interfere with what else is going on. Practically, as long as we're a mature body, somebody's going to have a lot of stuff with us. We're going to have a lot of stuff with them. But we are supposed to be so hungry and greedy that we can go around that and have such appreciation and gratitude. We can absorb ourselves only with the present limitations, restrictions, and setbacks and disappointments, or we can remind ourselves that the Supreme Lord is always our well-wisher, who is constantly arranging everything for our benefit. It is easy to accept this when everything is going on well, according to our desires and plans, but most difficult we have to deal with seemingly unpleasant experiences and challenges. We have had so many wonderful opportunities to engage in service in the past. We have so many present experiences, opportunities, and challenges. And we will also have so many amazing adventures, experiences, and challenges in the future. Each encounter, and try to listen now as I bring closure, because we want to try to impact. That's part of my problem. I always try to speak to impact, and that shouldn't be there. We shouldn't be concerned about the results. But somehow if we can offer the results to Krishna, then sometimes we can dovetail the desire to impact. Each encounter, association, and experience is all ultimately wonderful and arranged by Krishna for our benefit. It is naturally difficult to maintain this constant awareness. If we do, we allow ourselves to relive and recapture past experiences. But by developing gratitude for the past and appreciation for the present, we can live every day and every moment as pleasant, exciting, rewarding, fulfilling, meaningful experiences. Life is full of meaning and opportunities for growth. This says those who were chastised, and because of their attitude, they grew and they got blessed even more. When we are mindful of the beauty and accomplishments of the past, even when the present or future is not exactly what we would like it to be, we will not be disturbed. Rather, we will still be able to be excited about the past and appreciate and have appreciation about the present. In this way, the future will be even more auspicious because we create our futures by how we have dealt with our past and how we are dealing with our presence. Being always reflective, mindful, and grateful allows us to never forget how much the Supreme Lord is sending His love in different ways. And now I close. I am that beggar who is looking very closely at the past and the utmost, and having the utmost appreciation, which it is giving me greater gratitude about the present and extreme excitement about the future. So I want to thank each of you, and we're going to have the Maharajas, because we here are very needy at the farm, and hopefully most of you are, and you come to get as much as you can from this experience. So my back is about to crack, so I'm going to go, but I want everybody to stay, and while the Maharajas answer questions and share as they like to share with you. And then in about 45 minutes, an hour, and you can even stay a little longer if you like, the devotees have prasadam arranged for everyone. And so I end with it surely is like this afternoon, having so much to be grateful for, so much as I connect with all of you from the past, as we connect to the present, and we damn sure try to see how we're going to make this movement strong for the future. And we can't wait for somebody else to do it. We have to take on whatever is necessary ourselves to guarantee that we can offer Prabhupada something higher and higher every year. So you just chant the Tringaday for about a minute till I go, and then you allow these wonderful devotees who are not guru cheaters and concoctors, and you can hear from them without any ambiguity and paranoia. Maybe you could hear from me also, a dying man, and what does he have? So I think you can hear from all of us, because a dying man, he has nothing to hold back. He's actually dangerous. Huh? I'm like a loose cannon these last weeks. Some people, they're just wondering every moment, what am I going to send out? But they don't have to worry anymore. I ain't sending nothing else out. I revealed some of my most intimate secrets now. And so, I've given over my power. I revealed my most intimate secrets. Hey, I gotta go. Die. Somebody chant namaste. What microphone? Maharaj, wait, one of you can chant namaste. Chandrasekhar? Pull the microphone over to Chandrasekhar.
Namaste Narasingaya. Prahlada Ladadayane. Hiranyakasipurvaksa. Silatanga nakalae.
Silatanga nakalae.
Ito nisingo parato nisingo. Yato yato yamita to nisingo.
Yato yato yamita to nisingo.
Bye, hene sing o, rida hene sing o. Nara sing amadim saranam prapadai. Tavakara kamala bare nakam adbhuta singam dalita hiranyakasipu tanu bringam kesava dritta nara hari rupa jaya jagdisa re Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Dhavagara kamalabare nakam hadbhuta sringham dalita hiranyakasipu tanu bringam kesavadrita narahari rupa jaya jagadisa hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Tavangara kamala bare nakam adbhuta singam dalita hiranyakasipu tanu bringam kesavadrita narahari rupa jaya jagadisha hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Kesavadrita Nara Hari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Nisinga Dev, Jaya Nisinga Dev, Jaya Nisinga Dev, Jaya Nisinga Dev. Dionysing a Dave. Dionysing a Dave. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare I do not wish to speak much because I do not feel it appropriate to distract your attention or memory from the profound words of His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj. Let us very deeply contemplate, ponder with gratitude the incredible message that He has given us today. But He has ordered me to say something. As the servant of His servants, I will try to speak something. First of all, He requested me on His behalf to thank everyone, particularly His godbrothers and godsisters, who He did not publicly acknowledge, Anutama Prabhu, Rukmini Mataji, Satyaraj Prabhu and his good wife, Nityodita Prabhu, Adhikarta Prabhu, Lakshmi Narasingha Prabhu, and all others who I may not see also. He declared himself a cheating guru. I believe Krishna was speaking through him. The nature of a cheater is he imperceptibly steals from another. Maharaj has stolen our hearts. And now, by Prabhupada's wish, he is preparing to leave us with our hearts. But I think that is the greatest fortune. Because when a great personality steals our hearts and they go back to Godhead, they take our hearts with them. And perhaps that is our only hope. But we can also cheat him by keeping him always in our hearts. That is the nature of love. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj has exhibited throughout his devotional life his absolute love and dedication to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. He gave everything. He held nothing back. For over 30 years, he lived in a spirit of complete surrender, taking all risks. Thus he has, by his example and words, taught us how to live. And now, following in Srila Prabhupada's holy footprints, he is teaching us how to pass on from this world in a spirit of compassion, love, gratitude, and complete giving of himself for the welfare of others. Krishna does not come to this world simply to perform his lila, because that is going on in the spiritual world eternally. He comes to this world out of mercy to the fallen souls, to invite all of us back into his lila. He performs his lila in this world to attract our hearts. Krishna's mission in this world is that of mercy. And those who accept Krishna's mission give their hearts and souls to be instruments of that mercy. We read about it, we hear about it, but it is the most sublime gift of God when we have the opportunity to see it and personally experience that supreme virtue. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he has told me several times in the past couple of weeks how grateful and happy he is to be going through the most inconceivable difficult trials a human being can pass through. Because he lived only to serve. And he's happy to die only to serve. And if in dying he could render more service, he is glad. He is joyful. Because life is only for service. He's affecting more people's hearts now than we can imagine. He's bringing us together on such a divine platform, a spiritual love and gratitude. Vaishnavas, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. For thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas died to live and live to spread the holy name around. Maharaj has promised us that he will be with us forever. In fact, today, during our discussion at New Vrindavan, I read a beautiful passage written by Srila Prabhupada, wherein he explained that inspiration, spiritual inspiration, is coming from the heart. Because the Supersoul, Krishna, with all his devotees and all his associates, are residing in a devotee's heart. This is the supreme benediction. A grateful heart, a devoted heart, could access forever that association. I am not prepared to say much, but I want to say to Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, thank you. Prabhupada is so infinitely proud of you, Maharaj. Infinitely proud of you. And we are infinitely grateful to you. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki. In these last days, we can bring him great joy by taking these essential teachings that he is emphasizing at this particular time as our very life and soul, and to live by them as he is living by them. I thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki. I also feel just like Radhanath Maharaj. I don't really feel like I can really say anything after such a powerful and realized presentation by Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj of some of the real finer points of how to live the life in Krishna consciousness, where we can take advantage of every moment. And that's what Prabhupada emphasized so much in his talks, that each moment is so valuable. Time moves on. And as we could see in the lives of the great souls, and also in the life of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he's not afraid of death. He's not at all worried about that. And he's actually, as he said himself, he's actually looking forward to the future. But he's been emphasizing over and over again in these last few months of his own personal, when we say experiences coming closer and closer to leaving the body, and the realizations he's been getting in that experience, that time is so valuable, and that association with devotees is so valuable, that what Prabhupada gave us is so valuable. And to help us, I know me, I'm speaking for myself, to go more internally to try to understand that in a way that I can actually become more of a devotee or more of a better servant. And that's wonderful to see how Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even in the most difficult circumstances where everything is being taken away, so much higher and higher realizations of, you know, what is our purpose and what is the meaning of our existence and how to go deeper and deeper into that meaning where we can actually make a difference in our own lives and in the lives of others. As Srila Radhanath Maharaj said, and something that I've also experienced in the life of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and it's been that experience that I've had has more been due to a reflection on my experiences with him, and not so much when I was with him, but when I reflected back on my experiences with him, that he's always in the mood of giving. He did it in different ways, a very dynamic way to express his giving, and through his realizations, through his dancing, through his chastising, through his preaching, in different ways, through his ways of expressing Krishna consciousness to various types of people from all backgrounds of life. But it's always in the same mood. How to somehow or other give Krishna consciousness, or how to awaken Krishna consciousness in others. And I'm starting to see that now, and I'm thankful for that. And because of that appreciation that I'm getting from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I'm actually seeing that, you know, here's a great personality that I really had a lot of appreciation and friendship with, but not so much understood completely or even partially what he was all about. And that's helping me also to try to look internally and see how I can also be more of an example of what he wants us to be and what Srila Prabhupada wants us to be. So I guess we can say we're all very fortunate. Maharaj is he's still here, and his body is really, he's told me in the last couple of weeks that, you know, the pain is tremendous. Practically his whole body is racked with pain. And what he did today to sit out here was a great difficulty. I mean, physically. His mind is clear. His consciousness is fixed. But to go through that, the energy that is needed to do that is very, very difficult. And probably most of us, I know myself, and I know no doubt myself, I would be more meditative in such a situation. But Maharaj can't be, because he's so inspired to give Krishna consciousness to others. And it's really, really beautiful to see that. And I think he's asking us that we still have so much health, we still have so much, when we say, in one sense, available time. We should also try to be thinking how we can also do what he's doing in whatever way we can. So, and I thank him from my own perspective to help me to go deeper into my own somewhat inability to access what he's speaking about, and to help me to reflect on that, and to help me reflect on what a personality that we have in our midst, such a wonderful. Wonderful. We have so many great souls. I mean, this movement is full of wonderful devotees who have dedicated their lives in so many ways and are doing so much to spread Krishna consciousness. But as Srila Prabhupada said, I am pushing you and you are pushing others. So We have to keep pushing ourselves. We have to push ourselves and push each other in a way that we're gently pushing each other towards the right way. And he's doing it in such a way that it's, we actually, at least I am, we actually want to be a better devotee just by hearing from him. Not only for ourselves, but just to say, thank you, Maharaj, I'm going to try to be a better, because you want me to be better a devotee, as an appreciation for what he's offering. So I'm grateful for that. Whether I can do it or not, that's another thing, but at least I can, in these moments of hearing from him and reflecting on his life and my association with him, it's helping me to look at like that. And I think he wants us all to look in the same way. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki. Thank you.
Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Samyaniti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunabhadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitahananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
At a time like this, we really feel a smorgasbord of various emotions. And I wasn't there when Prabhupada left his body. I read about it in the writings of Srila Satcharup Das Goswami. And to some extent I could intellectually understand a smorgasbord of emotions that goes like a roller coaster from one minute to the next. But actually, these emotions are the beginning of genuine emotion. In the spiritual world, that's really the essence of it, is the relationships and emotions that are there. That's really the essence of it. And basically, Krishna creates this whole world just for that. We have a great dividing wall right down the middle of it. On one side is the spiritual world, and the other side is the material realm. We're on this side, and then there's a society on the other side. And we would just probably stay here. I know I would. If there wasn't some magnetism, some gravitational pull toward the other side. So, Krishna sends people to come here, steal our heart, and then jump over the fence. And then, probably for no other reason, we have some interest in what's going on the other side of the fence, because someone jumped over it. And that's all right. Actually, that's the real purpose. He breaks up stone-like hearts in a very simple, tricky way. Someone takes a piece of our heart, jumps into the black hole, and then we think about it later. We think, well, at least there's someone on the other side there that I know. One of these days I'll go there. I want to go there. Why stay here? We know we have to die at some point. But we're all works in progress. Look at the person that's standing next to you. We're all works in progress. Somehow, to see each one of us, every one of us has a position somewhere in the spiritual world. It's intellectually we know it. And it's true. The devotee right next to you has a place in the spiritual world, has a relationship in the spiritual world. We all do. Some of us may be more realized of it. Some of us may be more able to mirror that, and others less so. But it's true. It's a matter of time and a matter of purification. So I like that theme of gratitude, of recognizing that here we have so many wonderful devotees. And yes, there are imperfections. No one can doubt it. There have been all kinds of wrong things that have happened. Who can doubt it? And we can't leave that. But we can see everyone knowing that somewhere there is a future perfected state of that devotee. Somewhere there's a future perfected state of that devotee. And this leases is a meditation. I don't have much to say, but a couple of little things that I've been thinking about is that when we see each other, we can all ought to actually think about the future perfected state of that person. We can think about the future perfected state of that person and know that what we're seeing now is just some minor stuff that's there. It'll be gone soon, anything that's really not so agreeable or healthy. And for all we know, there might not be anything there at all. It just may be a mirror of our own imperfections. When we see something we don't like about someone, for all we know, it may just be our own imperfections mirrored off them. So someone grabs a piece of our heart and jumps into the hole. And one of these days, we'll also go into the hole. And once you're on the other side of the hole, you think, yeah, it wasn't such a big deal, birth and death. I'm glad I'm out of the whole deal. Maybe we'll come back here to help with the future of ISKCON. But we're trying to serve Krishna. And maybe someone will have a piece of their heart stolen when we jump into the hole. And water is a very unusual substance. I'm told that most things, when they get cold, they shrink. And things, when they get hot, they expand. And if it wasn't for a very peculiar property of the substance that we know of as water, this world wouldn't be the way it is now. Rain falls from the sky, and it soaks inside of rocks. And once the water goes in the rock, the winter comes and the water freezes, because water expands when it gets cold, unlike other things which contract when they get cold. Water expands when it gets cold, so it breaks rocks. And because water goes into the crack and breaks the rock, we get smaller rocks, and then we get smaller rocks, and finally we get dirt, and finally things can grow. So something like that. I never could understand this whole business of Krishna, Sambhoga, and Vipralamba, but now I understand it more and more. That's this whole business is all about. Together, they're separated, and then, no, it was a mistake, it wasn't really a separation, you're together again, then separated, then together, and then separated. And as it goes from one togetherness to one separation, gradually the hard rock is crushed. It becomes soft dirt. and in soft dirt, green things can grow. So, somehow or another, this is the process that... And I heard a popular song one time that said, sadness is the sweetest of the pains. And I believe that's true. And that we feel a sense of separation, but actually it is a type of ecstasy in a way. It actually is. And who can really be separated? We all belong to Krishna. There's one moment. There's a spiritual world. We'll all eventually find our little niche there, which has been there all along, with a little sign on it saying, temporarily absent. And we'll go and take it up again. And there, everything goes on forever. So, somehow or other, the devotees come, and they teach us something, and we try to appreciate others. And little by little, through all the difficulties we experience in our movement with each other, in our relationships, these are there designed to knock the hard edges off of each other. And we can be grateful that sometimes Krishna gives us tough love, and sometimes Krishna gives us an easy realization. But either way it comes, he's really the one that knows best. He's really the one that knows best. So, it's a smorgasbord of emotions. Welcome. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, would any of the other Prabhupada disciples would like to say something? Anyone feel inspired to say a few words? Lakshmi?
Okay, let me bring the microphone over.
Hare Krishna. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Ki Jai. I have a debt to Srila Prabhupada that I cannot repay. Srila Prabhupada has given us so much. He's given us the opportunity to reconnect with Krishna. When Sudam Vipra visited Lord Krishna with his humble offering, and he gave that offering, it was just a morsel of rice, chipped rice, not expensive. When he was going to give more, Rukmini stopped him. My dear Lord, he has given you so much. Better not to take another morsel. The debt cannot be repaid. Srila Prabhupada has given us this opportunity. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami has given us so much. And all of us, God brothers, God sisters, disciples, friends, we have a debt. We have an obligation. Every email that I've read, every word that I've heard him speak, he's begging us. He's petitioning us. Please, appreciate each other. Please, look at one another with this appreciation. How much service? He's asking us. We are obliged. It's the salvation of our spiritual life. It's the salvation of this movement. We have that obligation. And if that appreciation, if we're able to feel that appreciation, the same inspiration, the same electricity that he has, you've all felt it, you've all experienced it, when he walks into kirtan with that big smile and pulls out that big drum and dances until he looks like a rain cloud because the perspiration is pouring. And you look at that smile on his face and you know the sun is rising on the horizon. You've all experienced that. So that inspiration is coming from what? It's described that Vaishnava Parad is to not feel joyful when you see a devotee. That's an offense. Maharaj, every time he would see a devotee, didn't matter what their stature was, he would smile. Smile of love. Smile of appreciation. Smile of gratitude. Everybody would always say, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is so joyful. He's joyful because he's seeing the soul. Seeing the devotee in us, even though we may not be exhibiting actions or words of a devotee. But he sees that. And he encourages. Encourage means to give courage. So he's courageous, as we see. Anybody who chooses to leave their body in the battlefield, that is an act of great courage. And it's encouraging. Because of our battlefield, what we have raging on in our heart on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, that is the greatest of battlefields. When Prabhupada was departing from the planet, even though I didn't deserve the fortune, Prabhupada gave me moments of his association. Even though his emaciated body was lying there, and he was translating his meditation when it was the Brahmam Vimohan Leela, when I came into the room, they rolled him over and he spoke to me. And in that moment, that lava mantra, all my desires were fulfilled. I was seeing Prabhupada. He was speaking to me. And even the greatest of all desires was to massage his lotus feet. And that was fulfilled. And my desire to see Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, because he always gave me so much enthusiasm. One moment in kirtan, he would look at you and smile, and you may be feeling exhaustion. We were in Divnomorsk in Russia. 5 hours of kirtan, nonstop dancing. I thought I was going to die many times in the 5 hours. I thought my knees would break, and all you needed was a smile. And all you needed was that mallet against the drum. That would match your beating heart and infuse you with enthusiasm. So we have our obligation to him. It's not easy, because the obligation means action. Love means action. It's not some lofty metaphor. It's action. Prabhupada would say, you may say you love your wife. I love you, I love you. But if you do nothing, then what is the practical demonstration of that love? So love for a Vaishnava is action, service to Krishna, service to the Vaishnavas. So he's asked us, he's begged us, he's pleaded with us, he's cajoled us. Be active. Serve Krishna with all of your energy, just as he's practically demonstrating, and love each other, appreciate each other. have enthusiasm to be with each other. Pray for each other's association. Don't look upon each other as some burden or some botheration or some nuisance, but look at each other as your very source of strength, determination, and each one of us, each one of you, can give each other untold realizations about loving relationships. Each one, from the child to the elderly, can give us untold realizations about loving exchange. We can't love Krishna if we can't love each other. Do you think we bypass relationships here and then go to the supreme destination and have loving relationship? It's not possible. Prabhupada, like the sunshine, his love was everywhere. Like the sunshine, his mercy was everywhere. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, his mercy, his love, his encouragement was everywhere for everyone. So look at each other. Love each other. Love his action. Love his service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I'll just say a few words. I'd just like to speak a little bit about how dear Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was to Srila Prabhupada. I saw this a couple of times, and it was at Bhaktivedanta Manor when Srila Prabhupada was passing away. It was in 1977 in the summer, in August, and he was very sick. He was probably in a very similar condition to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He couldn't walk. He was being carried everywhere. I was very fortunate that I carried Srila Prabhupada up the stairs to his quarters at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and all the devotees came from all over Europe and many from America. Prabhupada didn't even speak. He spoke just a few words. Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj was giving an account of Srila Prabhupada's life. It was his Vyasa Puja day, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj gave a very nice talk, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj missed a couple of small details, and Srila Prabhupada, that was practically the only time he spoke. The rest of the time, he didn't give any lectures. He was wearing dark glasses. He was sitting on the Vyasasan, and everybody was having kirtan. And they were singing a very simple tune, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very simple tune. And Prabhupada was appreciating it very much. And everybody was dancing in ecstasy. And so it was very ecstatic. Everybody was going out every day on Sankirtan to try and prolong Srila Prabhupada's stay on the planet. Of course, he left, and we went through many growing pains after his disappearance, but he's still with us, and he's with us especially in his very surrendered disciples, like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So he called for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had been in Eastern Europe, and he had been distributing books with the library party. And I read one letter that he wrote to Srila Prabhupada. It was an amazing letter. I read it sometime later after it was written. And it was very beautiful. And it was in the mood of a beggar. He was always a beggar, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And in this particular letter, he was crying out to Srila Prabhupada. He said, I'm all alone in this hellish Iron Curtain country, and I don't know anybody, and it's very horrible here, but I want to do this service for you. I want to distribute these books to these colleges, and you're the only one who can help me. Please give me your mercy. And Srila Prabhupada was very appreciative of this. And so he specifically called Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was known as Ghanisham at the time. He called him to come to the manor to be with him. And when he came, he embraced him and he rubbed his head. And they had a very nice exchange. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was a very special person. I remember one time in Puri, in Jagannath Puri in about 1978, we were there together, and I remember that he lost all of his luggage on the plane. He didn't have anything. And I said, well, aren't you worried about this? You know, because if it was me, I would have been freaking out. But he said, no, I don't care. It's perfectly all right. And he really meant it. You know, he was totally detached. It was amazing. And then he was very fortunate, too. He was telling us how on that particular trip, he went into the Jagannath temple. And he was very special because actually at that time, somehow or other, one of the pujaris took him specifically into a very sacred area on the altar and gave him a special darshan. So, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, as you all know, probably more than I do, he was a very special person. And, you know, I was always appreciative of his kirtan. And I remember one time, it was 5 or 6 years ago, that we were dancing in a kirtan, and he seemed to be very healthy. And I thought, well, we'll just carry on doing this till we're like 150 years old or something. So I said, well, Maharaj, we'll be doing this for years together. This is great. We'll keep fit. We'll dance. And he said, no, actually, I have some real problems with my body. I don't think I'll be doing this for so very long. I didn't really believe him, but I guess he knew better than me. The fact is that he's a genuine leader. He's giving us a lot of realizations about how to come to terms with the pain and suffering that this body brings. And that we should not be afraid that if we follow in his footsteps by trying to give love of Godhead to everybody, then we will also become fearless like him. And we can simultaneously be very sad, but at the same time, we shouldn't be too sad, because he will definitely go back to Godhead. And we will be able to go there and be with him one day. So we should be very sad, but at the same time very happy that he's had a very successful life, that he served Srila Prabhupada very, very nicely, and that he's actually pleased him. He's actually brought love of God to so many people and inspired so many people. So his reward is that at the time of death, he's totally fearless and he's ready to go. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj Ki Jai.
I first of all want to thank all the very, very exalted Vaishnavas for sharing their realizations here today in relation to Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And I'm just appreciating the magnitude and depth and sincerity of everyone's realization and how it's magnifying and helping all of our spiritual lives. So let's just take a moment to thank from within our heart all the Vaishnavas for sharing their realizations. One thing that I'm reflecting on as I hear the devotees speak is something that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wrote in one of his last emails regarding forgiveness and different levels and deeper levels of forgiveness. I'm also reflecting on something that Lakshmi Nrsimha Prabhu so nicely put, as well as the Maharajas. Lakshmi spoke about love. Love means action. And Maharaj also spoke about when we see others, oftentimes we may project upon them some of our own shortcomings. And in relation to this, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wrote in one of his last emails how he's imploring us all to go deeply into this mood of forgiveness towards our God brothers and God sisters. And one measure of this, we may feel that we have forgiven somebody. For instance, Lakshmi spoke about love. The process of love, if we actually go deeper into love, first we must come to the point of forgiving others for whatever offenses we may feel they have committed, that either may be in our mind real or imagined. So if we actually want to love someone, we have to completely forgive them. And as Maharaj said, see them in their real perfection. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he's a living example. He saw everyone as they could be. He saw everyone as how they could be the purest servant in Srila Prabhupada's mission. And by that vision, that purity of vision, he encouraged, inspired so many people. So he wrote that when we see someone, one of our God brothers or God sisters, and if it's someone that may have offended us, again, real or imagined, many times it's imagined because of the ego, or someone that has hurt us in some way, if we see that person and we still feel some residue of animosity, or even, he said, it was very beautifully put, he said, that if we from the bottom of our hearts cannot wish that person the greatest good, then we are still holding on to something in our heart towards that person, towards that devotee. So for real love to take place, for there to be the love in action that Lakshmi spoke about, and real, the love of Lord Chaitanya's movement to flow, we have to, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj implored us, come to this deep level of forgiveness for all, towards all our God brothers and sisters. And he gave us the key here. What do we feel in our heart as we see each other? And if we feel something that's keeping us from wishing this person the greatest good, then we know we have some work to do. And certainly, if we look in our hearts, I know for myself, as I look in my heart, there is tremendous amount of work to be done. So I want to thank Bhakti Tirtha Swami for always pushing us in this way to go within. This is a movement that's based on preaching vigorously externally and also going vigorously within and cleansing the heart, as Lord Chaitanya exemplified in the Gundincha temple pastime. So let us exemplify this mood that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is imploring us to do, to be love in action ourselves, to see others with the greatest mood of forgiveness and well-wishing, so that this movement of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada can flourish after Bhakti Tirtha Swami's departure in a way that he would be proud of us all for. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki.
Hare Krishna. So Chandrasekhar Maharaj talked about the smorgasbord of emotions. I was thinking two emotions, maybe some words, especially to Maharaj's disciples, but in context to all of us, because we're all disciples and we're trying to follow his discipline of pure devotion to Srila Prabhupada. But I think of two emotions that often are prominent at the time of the departure of anyone who's close to us, but a particular great soul. I recall my sister lost her husband. She's a widow. Her husband died about 10 years ago. And at the funeral, she told me, she said, actually, I'm crying, but I have to confess I'm crying more for myself than I am for him. She said, because I'm feeling such great fear that what will happen to me after he's gone. And I think that's, and I was a young disciple, still a young disciple, when Srila Prabhupada passed away, and that's a expected emotion, and also one we should understand, that we should not fear. Our position is actually always cared for. We may not realize that Krishna's care is there, but it always is. We may not realize that our spiritual master's care is there, but it always is. In the case of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we have so many lectures that he's given, we have so many books that he's given, we have so many devotees that he's made, and so many communities, and so much loving support that will always be there. And if we are to sit here today and listen to him live speak to us or look at us, our heart may be open for that message, or it may not be so open. But if we continue to keep it open, whether it's in apparently the physical presence or in the separation of the physical presence, as we understand, the vani is so much more important. Because often we can be in the physical presence but not actually understand, as Radha Swami was saying, not actually understand what is the purpose for Vaishnava's lives. Their lives are not just a few years being embodied in this world. Their lives are generally to carry forward the energy of Krishna to uplift the souls within this material world who have forgotten him. So the sense of fear that, well, what will happen to me, that protection of Guru and Krishna is always there. And the same formula is there, whether they are here in physical presence or not, which is we merely have to open our eyes and see the light. We merely have to take hold of their lotus feet. We merely have to take their instructions to heart. And even if we slip and we fall and sometimes we forget, or we want our hearts to be open, but it doesn't seem that they can be, we can know within the core of our hearts that their offer to us will never go away. It will always be there, even if we're not capable of receiving it at this moment. So there's no need for fear, even if we think, well, I'm not even worthy of that mercy that may be there in the future. We should know that the mercy is so great it overpowers our unworthiness. And if we just try, or cry to be a little sense of worthiness, that mercy will always be there. It will always be there. The Prabhupada is always there. His will is always there. His mercy, his love is always there. It will be the same with Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And just some small reflection on love. I went to a seminar this last weekend at the Festival of Inspiration, When Bad is Good. And there were devotees sharing very heartfelt stories of personal tragedies and crises and great experiences of loss. Several of the women Vaishnavas that were there were explaining how they'd lost their children and died at a young age, and very, very, very painful things. And it was very difficult even hearing these difficulties. But one of the women shared that her realization through all this pain, she said, actually, and I think we're experiencing this here, and that this process of preparing ourselves to not have the physical presence of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, she explained that in the loss of her child, her manifestation of love for him became so great, and the pain and the difficulty was there, but through all of that, she started having some sense, if I have so much love for my son, how much love Krishna must have for me? How can I fathom how much love Krishna must have for me? So I think this is also one of the lessons for us, that in the core of our hearts, that we all know there's so much dirt and so many things that block us from understanding Krishna and really loving one another and appreciating one another as he's urging us to do. If even in our hearts there's even a little glimmer of affection for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, or for some of the beautiful words we've heard today, or if just a little glimmer of love is there, how in our stone-hard hearts, how much love Krishna must have for us. And when we understand that, as Maharaj is saying, when we appreciate that first and foremost, then our lives are just as he told us. They become an experience of adventure and wonder and beauty at every moment, because Krishna's loving embrace is actually there. It's just for us to open our eyes. And in this life, sometimes in order to open our eyes, he pinpricks us. He gives us a little pinprick. Our whole life is an experience of just unlimited gifts. From the trees, the sound of the wind, the sky, the sun, the ground, the Vaishnavas, everything is just gifts. And sometimes he takes away one gift, or he seems to take away one gift, and we go into shock. This gift's been taken away. But that process is just there to awaken us to that we're surrounded by gifts. and we just have yet to open our eyes. And with in this situation, Maharaj's gifts, they'll always be with us. They'll never not be there. We may not have fully understood them when they're physically present with us. That by no means means we won't be able to realize them more and more and more for the rest of our lives. And no one can ever take that away from us. Never. It's not possible. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj Ki Jai.
We've heard so many beautiful things today, starting from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj himself. I just keep thinking of this one phrase he used about the dominant force in our consciousness. It's such a strong, and Indra Dumna Swami used the same term, and I was reading his book recently. So I think we can all pray for him, and that he will be blessed and benedicted by Krishna and be carried in ecstatic love to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Pray that his pain will be minimized. And we've heard so many beautiful things today. We heard how from Radhanath Swami, how the whole spiritual world is within our own hearts. That we can, Krishna's there. We can, if we can just start to uncover from the dirt, as what Bhadarayana Prabhu was saying. And when I think of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and his legacy, it's described that Lord Chaitanya in Kirtan at the Rath Yatra was like a firebrand. His dancing was just like a firebrand, like a hot coal, just going around and around. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami always reminded me of that when he was dancing. He particularly reminded me of that when, in Mayapur, when he, they decided that Vishakha Prabhu would give Bhagavatam class one morning in Mayapur. It was a first and a revolution that a woman was going to give class in Mayapur, and so she was sitting there, and someone had taken the kartals and the microphone was turned off, and the Bhagavatam was gone, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj became like fire. He just started running around the temple room like a firebrand, telling the Bengali sannyasis, "Maharaj, you get that book, and you get it now." He was just, I think his legacy is a legacy of just fearless compassion for the most, in particular for the most disenfranchised people. And if we want to carry his legacy, all of us, not only his disciples, but he's an inspiration to all of us, I think we have to look to that example. When he first came to the temple in New York, very few people even speak to him. He's spoken about this many times, maybe you've heard him. So people thought of, who is this black guy? He'll never become a devotee. Give him some prasadam. Just a couple of people spoke to him. Everybody else pretty much ignored him. And look, what a mistake. What a mistake people made. So we also, when we are walking down the street or we see someone their first day in the temple, we don't know who that person is. So we talk about Vaishnav etiquette, and there's a lot of etiquette, garlands and big chairs and these kinds of things, but I think if we really want to carry his legacy, we have to really look to the very first, newest person in the temple, the very first day they come, and really caring for the newest, youngest, most disenfranchised, even someone who's not a devotee yet. We don't know who they are. You know the story of Lord Chaitanya? He told one of his associates, "There's a devotee outside. Go bring him in." The devotee went outside. He didn't see any devotee. He came back. He said, "There's no devotee outside." Lord Chaitanya said, go outside. There's a devotee out there. Bring him in." He went outside and he looked, and there was only a kind of a dirty Muslim fakir. He's kind of dirty. And he came back and he said, "Mahaprabhu, there's only a Muslim fakir outside." And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, Sanatan Goswami, bring him in. So we can so easily misunderstand. So to carry his legacy, let's try to give that fearless compassion to everyone in ISKCON and out of ISKCON, just the way he would. His effervescent enthusiasm and love. And I just wanted to say one more story. This is a beautiful story that I've been thinking of the last few weeks. Satsvarupa Maharaj told this story here in Gita Nagari, and maybe in about 1982. He talked about when he was in the Navy, he had a commanding officer who he was sent away to the war. Maybe it was the Korean War, I'm not sure. But he knew that many men, when they go away to war, they get involved with other women, prostitutes, whatever, and they don't remain faithful to their wives. So this commanding officer was telling the men under him that when he went away to the war, he wanted to remain faithful to his wife in their separation from each other. So he took up the hobby of photography so that his time would be occupied and he wouldn't have an idle mind. So that when he would again meet his wife after the war, that he would be able to meet her with a clear heart, that he had been true and faithful. So Maharaj was giving the example to the disciples of Prabhupada to try to engage in a sincere way in service to Prabhupada as in your time in separation from him in this world, so that when you again meet him after this body, that you can meet him with a clear heart, that you've tried your best to serve him with integrity and without duplicity. So we all fall down in so many ways, and I don't want to be always beating ourselves up for the mistake we made today or yesterday, but as much as possible, we should try to be engaged in Krishna's service in whatever way inspires our hearts, so that when we again meet Bhaktitirtha Swami or Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, we can do that with a full, clear heart that I've tried with my life to serve you without duplicity.
Yeah, just one second. I just have a small offering here. That a couple of weeks ago, I did my usual routine of just dropping in unexpectedly, or tried to drop in unexpectedly on His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Swami, but at that time he wasn't up to it. So that was on a Friday. The next Sunday, following Sunday, I came back thinking, okay, pray to Krishna. Well, if he can't talk to me, at least give me one glance. So he came into the temple, and I was standing in line there, and he saw me. Not only did he give me a glance, but he gave me a big smile. I was very happy. And then on the way out, I also stood in the way, and at first he didn't see me, but then, so I got two glances. So this time I didn't even ask Krishna for anything. I didn't ask. I was kind of taking for granted I would at least get one glance, but when he came back, when he went out of the lecture today, he didn't see me. So I figured Krishna balanced the budget, and you can't ever take the glance or the association of devotees for granted. Should always be begging and praying for Krishna to bless us in this way. But I was just reflecting really on the greatness of Bhaktitirtha Swami is really reflected in his perfection of one of the small things. And really, this is what makes someone great, is really their art of perfecting the small things. And the small thing that Bhaktitirtha Swami offered each and every one of us that ever went to see him was actually felt like this devotee, this Prabhu, this guru, this Swami, this GBC, he's actually listening to me. he's not only is he listening to me, but he's feeling, he has empathy, he's understanding. And that is pretty rare. I mean, there's a lot of times try to talk to devotees in this busy society, and they don't seem like they're too busy for you. But that was one quality he had, that whenever any devotee, big or small, went to, they left feeling, he listened to me, he understood. And then he used that small quality and magnified in his leadership role, that he listened to the voices of maybe even the silent voices of the society and addressed issues that, you know, nobody else dared to address. He addressed homosexuality, he addressed depression, he addressed suicide issues within our society. And he's listening to the silent voices of the suffering of the devotee society. Listen, and then, of course, he addressed that, and that is, of course, one of the most important loving exchanges we can engage in is hearing confidentially from each other and speaking confidentially. And so he perfected that art in a small way, a personal way with each of us, and in a big way with the society. And that is something we need to emulate as leaders, or we're all leaders. By this, Bhakti Tirtha Swami taught us that we're all leaders, and we need to take that example and magnify it, and then the whole society will blossom. And that's what I was remembering today. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki.
Hare Krishna. I wasn't going to say anything, and I thought I would, and then... Okay. And Mother Rukmini kind of talked about what I was going to talk about. Is I remember when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj first came to Brooklyn. I was one of the people that did talk to him, and we used to argue about his philosophy. And I was Maha Mike, so I knew everything. And I was thinking, you know, you don't know this philosophy. You should learn this philosophy. You know, I used to preach to him, and he'd argue his philosophy. And then I didn't see him for a long time. Then I saw him, he was Ghanisham. And he was doing so many services. And then we had a Glubjman contest. So many things. I was thinking about missed opportunities. I had opportunity to spend time with Jayananda Prabhu. We were co-bus leaders on Radha Damodar bus. And then he left. And he used to tell me, you give the classes, you fire up the men. I go, no, you give the class. And he goes, no, you give it, you're a better preacher. And I was thinking, yeah, I guess I am. And I was always thinking I was the force, you know, somehow or another. Maya continued to push me, thinking. And so many senior men, Sridhar Swami gave me so much mercy in the last couple years ago. He gave me his room, gave me his house, gave me everything to live. As he would move out of one place and move into the other. And I got so much mercy. And I never really knew him, because he always was in India and I was always here. And then when I went there, he embraced me and just took me as he knew me my whole life. And so many senior devotees have done that to me. And I've worked with young devotees. That was what I did. I trained Sankirtan in. And they went on to become big-time devotees, and I still was this Maha Mike, thinking I knew the philosophy. Maharaj affected me today so much. We miss our opportunities. Every bhakta that comes in the door is a Bhakta Tirtha Maharaj potential, is a Jayananda potential. Every devotee that comes, and if we miss it because we think we're Maha Mike, we've blown a great opportunity to have somebody thinking about us to take us to the other side. We have profoundly affected today, all day. If you go and you move outside for a little while and then you come back, you have to take a look at every devotee's face, because every devotee is giving you the same mercy, whether they're Bhakta so-and-so or Bhakta Tirtha. They're giving us an opportunity to go back to Godhead. Every devotee. And if we think we're Maha Mike and we know it, we miss the opportunity. So what I hear from Maharaj, and I've heard from the Festival of Inspiration this last day, and from Srila Prabhupada, that we need to be looking at each other on a spiritual platform and get off this bodily platform. It was mentioned that he addressed different issues, but even the issues of race in our movement, we keep looking at the body. We need to look at the soul. And don't become a Maha Mike and miss all opportunities to have this association that will give us an opportunity to go back to Godhead. And so when I listen to the devotees talk, and I listen to Maharaj talk, I see I miss so many opportunities by thinking I knew the philosophy. Because the real philosophy is to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. And even that new bhakta coming in the door, we don't know who he is or she is. We have no idea. So it's our business to bring them prasadam and give them Krishna so that we also can get Krishna. So I don't want to go on for a long time, but Maharaj, at least the message I got today is we need to take a look. Don't look at your past and live on your laurels. You know, it's like so many times when devotees come up to me, they haven't seen me in years ago, and they have all these wonderful stories. Remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? Remember? But what am I doing today? You know, what am I doing today to affect that Krishna conscious platform, to raise myself up and to raise the people around me up? I think that's what I'm hearing as a message today. You know, what have you done for me lately? Maybe Krishna is singing that song. And so the idea is, what am I going to do for Krishna today? And how can I affect the devotees who are right here? You know, we always have plans to go out and get new people. But Srila Prabhupada said it's better to take care of the ones you have than to make new ones. Right here, to embrace each other. So that's what I'm hearing from Maharaj today. I don't know what you're hearing, but I'm sure you're hearing much more than I am. But what I'm hearing is that I got to do something now to make a change, to express what Prabhupada's given me, what Maharaj's association has given me, all the my God brothers and God sisters. So, thank you very much. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki jai.
Prabhu, you have to move away from the speaker, otherwise you're going to...
So, I'll stand behind you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaja ki. I have been praying that I could understand what's going on here, and that all of us will be able to understand. What I understand is that, as Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has told us, 2 or 3 weeks ago, his invitation came, come on back to the spiritual world. You've fulfilled your mission. He should have gone, but he didn't go. Why not? Out of his own free will. Not because we deserved it, not because Krishna wanted it, not because Prabhupada wanted it. Out of his own free choice, he decided, let me stay a little bit longer. Let me suffer the horrible pains that this body is giving me. Let my death be a sacrifice so that the Krishna consciousness movement can be renewed and the devotees can love each other more. So I think Srila Prabhupada must have accepted that desire of his. That's why he's here. Srila Prabhupada has accepted that our movement can become renewed. Loving affection between devotees will come about again, more and more. So I'm praying that I will be able to be part of that. It's going to happen. I'm convinced it's going to happen. At the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna said, they're all already killed. Arjuna, do you want to take part in it? You want to get the credit? So the Krishna consciousness movement has been renewed. The devotees are loving each other. They're embracing each other. They're forgiving each other. They're forgetting the past, how they've been mistreated. Am I going to be part of it? So that's what Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has done, is my understanding. This is why he's here now. He's sacrificing his life. He's sacrificing his death. He's enduring all this unbearable pain that would make an ordinary human being cry out in agony. He's enduring that for us so that we can be inspired to love each other and embrace each other and forgive each other. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki.
Hare Krishna.
I just first want to thank all of you for allowing me to be here with you. I see in all your beautiful, bright, smiling faces the legacy of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And that brings great hope to my heart. So I thank you for that. And if you can just pick up a little bit of the wonderful service attitude that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj displayed in his whole Krishna conscious career, then certainly you'll be able to have a major impact upon our society. You shouldn't think, oh, I'm a new devotee, or I'm a young devotee, or I'm not a disciple of Prabhupada, and there's so many senior devotees. Because though we offer respect, certainly, to senior devotees, but in Vedic culture, seniority is based on wisdom. And you're very fortunate that you have such a wonderful spiritual master that has imparted so much wisdom to you. So we implore you that you take that wisdom and you go out into the ISKCON society and into the greater society, and you give that great gift that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj has been inundating us as of late. Srila Prabhupada, you know, taught us that there are three types of servants based on realization of the relationship with the spiritual master. And the number one, highest level devotee, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would refer, is one who would automatically know what the spiritual master wants. He doesn't have to ask and then execute. He doesn't have to take the order and execute it in the way he wants, but he knows what he wants.
And Bhakti Tirthamaraj always seemed to know what Srila Prabhupada wanted, and therefore he received the greatest gift from Prabhupada, because that was his consciousness. Prabhupada told him years and years ago, I mean, we don't have to even wonder what the destination of Srila Bhakti Tirthamaraj is today, because of what he's pouring out from his heart now and influencing so many Vaishnavas, because it was years and years and years ago that Prabhupada told him that he's going back to Godhead, because he knew what Prabhupada wanted, which was to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world and not to take the easy path, which so many of us want to do. We want to be comfortable and we want to serve Krishna according to how it's pleasing to us. And that's okay that we dovetail like that. But the highest service is to know what the spiritual master wants and take upon ourselves that challenge to fulfill his transcendental desire to inundate the world and everyone in it with Krishna consciousness. One time, I'll share one experience I had with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. As we know, he was so dedicated to distributing the mercy of his guru in the form of Prabhupada's books. And he blessed so many people through his college preaching. But there was another time that he was doing another kind of preaching, and he was selling sets of books. It was in Chicago. And I was in New Vrindavan, and you know, previous to that I had been somewhat of a, you know, big, so-called big book distributor. But I hadn't done it for a number of years. So we were in New Vrindavan, and we were desiring to also want to distribute books, and we had heard what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and I think Tripurari Maharaj was also up there, what they were doing, selling these sets. We had no idea how they were doing it. So Kirtananda Swami, he sent me up there to investigate and find out and learn, be taught. I don't know if many of you know about how he was doing this, but he was always so creative in the service of his spiritual master. And because he had such a compassionate attitude, as we see with every word that's coming out of his mouth, they're like great pearls of wisdom. They're like beautiful flower petals that are just falling upon our heads. You know, they're like rivers of pure mercy. So he always had that kind of compassion, and he would be creative. As we know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, as he says, he's a little unorthodox sometimes. So that's creativity in the service of the spiritual master. Somehow or other, I will figure out how I can serve my spiritual master's desire. So he said, okay, I'll take you out, Narda. He said, you may think this is a little kind of strange the way that we do this or unorthodox, but I won't tell you how. You'll see for yourself. So we went out, and we went. He had set up appointments. And actually, they were going to people's homes. They had purchased lists from certain types of magazines, specifically magazines of people who were reading about UFOs and those kind of things. And so they would call, and he would make an appointment somehow. You know, he'd entice them with what he was able going to bring them, something that was truly beyond this world, which we know it was. So he'd go in there, and then he'd show them Srila Prabhupada's books. And he would only speak the truth, because we know that these words are descending from Goloka, Goloka Premadana, Harinama Sankirtana. They're not of this world. And he would show them these celestial pictures that these wonderful artists, our God brothers and God sisters, had drawn. And certainly these are not of this world. And he'd show, and these people would be amazed. They'd never seen anything like this. Obviously, it can't be from this world. And then he'd read them the Sanskrit. It's not of this world. And then he'd tell her about there's these whole sets, so they could put them in their home. And if they did that, their home would not be of this world either, would it? Prabhupada taught us that. And then, the coup de grace, if they wouldn't sign up and take the whole set, he'd take off his wig. And then they knew he was not of this world! and they would all take Srila Prabhupada's sets of books. So just catch up this mood that your Guru Maharaj has, and that's not just for disciples, all of us. I mean, you can see we have so much to learn. I was fortunate enough, he was kind enough, in the last couple of months, I got 3 or 4 emails from him, and I was also trying to find places for his healing, so we were kind of in some communication. And in one communication, he had written about his mood of Vasudev Dutt, and I wrote him and I begged him, I said, you know, how much I appreciate that, but what's really going to save our society is you staying here, because it's the holy sound vibration, it's the sound of the absolute truth. It's that Shabda Brahman manifesting through our hearts and affecting everyone who hears it, that's going to save our society. So he wrote back and he said, you bring up some very good points that I will try if Krishna desires, you know, to stay longer. And so he's been here longer than perhaps was apportioned, so that he could speak this and affect so many of our hearts. So if we can just absorb just a little bit of what he's saying and repeat that, then certainly if you do that, you'll always have this association, like Anuttama Prabhu was saying. I remember when Srila Prabhupada, just after a few years of being here in America, I believe it was 1970, and he was going back to India, and he didn't think he was going to return. And that's when he first told us about Vani and Vapu. And it was so emotional, because when Prabhupada started speaking like this, we thought, you know, we're going to lose Prabhupada. But then when he explained to us about Vani, we knew we would never lose Srila Prabhupada. As he explained how, you know, Vapu comes and goes, this physical association, even though the body of the spiritual master is not material. So you're getting such a great opportunity to serve that form. We may see it, as someone was pointing out, our perception as matter, but it's not. He's become fully spiritualized. Prabhupada said, just like the iron that is put in the fire, may appear like iron, but if you touch it, it acts like fire. So just to be in his presence, we can all feel the spirit moving through us all and affecting us all. So Prabhupada explained how the instruction of the spiritual master, that is what is eternally manifest. So you have so much of that. We all have so much of that. So I thank you very much, and I just pray that you will take advantage of it for my benefit. And all of our benefits, not just for your own benefit. Thank you very much. And you're all beautiful devotees.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all the wonderful Vaishnavas that are assembled here today. As Chandrasekhar Maharaj was saying, a smorgasbord of emotions. I met Srila Krishnapada in 1973, and at that time he asked me to look out for his family that was in Cleveland. But again, as part of his cheating nature, he started looking out for my family. And he always had a special concern for me, and when he saw to it that I married my husband, I could feel his sigh of relief that finally someone who he didn't have to worry about that would give his god sister protection. And that's been our relationship. When Prabhupada left the planet, I was devastated, and only after begging Krishna for some kind of understanding, I realized that Prabhupada was in my heart, and he'd always be there, and I'd always be connected. And so that's the realization that I have with Bhakti Chitta Swami. He's my elder god brother, and he'll always be with me. And what I'd like to implore all the devotees to do is to be outrageous in his name's sake. You know, Srila Krishnapada, he always said he's outrageous, and he acted like that. So for us, how do we examine what it actually means to be outrageous? Some examples might be to ask somebody who we know is going to say no to come to a class, to give prasadam to someone who rejected it before, to be really present when we're talking to each other and not forget about where we have to go and what we have to do. Be outrageous. Be there now. And if we take this mood somehow or other, I feel that we will, in each of our lives, be able to take Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami with us. I was thinking the other day that Prabhupada has a chapter in the Krishna book called Wonderful Krishna. I said, how is it that any word can describe the Supreme Personality or a million words? And so they all fall short. But by the grace of the pure devotee, they can say a word like wonderful and we can appreciate the Supreme Lord. So similarly, for the pure devotees of the Lord, how can words describe them? I mean, we could say about Bhakti Tirtha, he's a visionary, he's magnanimous, he's kind, he's wise, he's outrageous, but none of those words are enough. So what we have to do is have him in our heart and act that outrageous way. And every single time we do that, he's going to be right there with us. So I just wanted to sing this little song to Srila Krishnapada and to all the devotees. I can't sing, but you all bear with me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? You're everything I hoped for, everything I need. You, Srila Krishnapada Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Prabhupada's divine son, are so beautiful to me. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Hare Krishna. That's beautiful. You're beautiful to us. Thank you. I'm standing in the back, and my wife is saying, go say something. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say. But I had a lot of association. I mean, and I'm sitting here and looking around. I say, I know everybody. I've known a lot of you for 30 years. You know, why should I feel shy? And I've known Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj from Brooklyn, from Henry Street, when he first came. And he's just been a force in our family, outrageous. For a while, he was actually banned from giving class in ISKCON. Maybe some of you remember those days in the late 80s, because he's outrageous. And he was innovative. And he did a lot of things that the conservative ISKCON thought was outrageous. So they put an ice on him. So he used to have programs at our house in Silver Spring, Maryland. We were the unofficial, you know, the outrageous house. So he used to come, and he had initiation. We had, like, must have had five or six weddings. We had, like, five or six people. A lot of people here probably got married at my house. Who got married at my house? Anybody here? Who got initiated at my house? Hey, you got a bunch of people. All the outrageous people. So he used to come, you know, we used to facilitate because, you know, and I remember one time he had a program and it was like he would preach a little differently. So one time everybody showed up in big African clothes, you know, all the robes and everything. I was like, oh, wow, this is far out, you know. But then we'd all go out on the deck and have this rip-roaring kirtan. I said, okay, you know, African clothes, but we're chanting Hare Krishna, so that's okay. You know, and it was just outrageous all the time. They even jumped the broom, you know. They had the wedding. They, you know, they did that in the movie Roots. So I guess it was, we're like Rita and Ananda saying, we're not Indian. We're not presenting Indian culture. So, you know, jumping the broom's okay, too. You know, we're just spiritualists, transcendentalists. So I just want to thank Bhakti Tirtha for, you know, being outrageous and helping, you know, being outrageous at my house. And you know, I really appreciated that. And then my daughter, he came to my daughter's wedding. And, you know, sannyasis never used to do that. That was like, no, you know. But, you know, we're new, kinder, gentler ISKCON nowadays. So the swamis realize that especially the second generation, they really are kids, all our kids. So, you know, they all come back. I remember when I got married, I asked, I was in Bombay, and I said, Giriraj Maharaj, he was the temple president, he was there. I said, Maharaj, you going to come to our wedding? He said, oh, Prabhu, I'm a Swami. I forget it, I'm not going to your wedding. So things have changed. Things have become much more kinder and gentler now. And then Gauravani just took the baby. My daughter had a little baby. And Maharaj did the grain ceremony a couple months ago for the maybe some of you in Silver Spring. And Gauravani, he's a cheater too. Mara's talking about he's a cheat. So he's going, Mara's going up into the room, and we're like, I've got to give Mara's a space. He's not feeling good. We're not going to run in there and bother him. But Gauravani went running in there with the baby, and they went in the room. He just told me the story, and Mara's looked over and saw him through a couple people and said, come forward. And he just said, rubbed the baby's head. And he said, the baby, where is Gauravani? He should tell this story. Come here, tell this story. You can tell, you were there, you can tell better than me. Don't worry, somebody else will. Let's get Gauravani up. He'll tell this story. This is a great story. It just happened 5 minutes ago, so it's fresh off the press. Come on up. He could barely tell us because it was so emotional, so... Give him a minute if he breaks down here. Come on, it's truth or consequences here. Here's Gauravani, here's my son-in-law.
Bhakti Tirthamara is just, he touched Revati on the head and he expressed what I know he feels for all of the young devotees in this movement and the children of the young devotees in this movement. He said that he hopes that we can take care of her and that he'll be checking in on us to make sure that we give her the type of upbringing and support to help her fulfill her purpose for coming here to this world. And I know Maharaj feels that way for all of the young devotees. When Bhakti Tirthamara smiles, the whole universe smiles. He's been very, very kind to our family. And it's not because we're special. It's just because he's very kind and merciful. Thank you.
There was actually more to that story, but Gauravani's can't handle it. He was telling us that Maharaj was and the baby were staring at each other, and they were like their eyes were locked. He described it, and Maharaj says, "I'm going to be watching out for you. Make sure your parents take good care of you. I'm going to be coming back, keeping an eye on you." Him and the baby were just looking at each other. So you know what they say, you better be good, you better watch out. Bhakti Tirtha is going to be coming to town. So all of us, that's for all of us. So be outrageous for Prabhupada and spread this movement. So thank you. Hare Krishna.
Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. The Kitanagari devotees are requesting now that you all honor Prasad. That at the temple, Prasad will be distributed and for Srila Prabhupada's disciples in this house. Thank you very, very much.
Kitanagari Ki Jai!
Hare Krishna, Prabhus. I don't feel qualified to say anything, but I'll keep it very, very brief. All of you, God brothers and God sisters, have said the most eloquent and beautiful things about Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And I couldn't possibly add anything, except that a few weeks ago, Maharaj was sitting here and saying, thanking Krishna for giving him the cancer, and talking about the lessons that he'd learned. And I was thinking about that, and just night before last, I suddenly had a thought about at least one of the reasons that Krishna has given this cancer to